بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، today we finished the 19th juz, which covers Surah Furqan. It also covers Surah Shu'ara, and it covers a large portion of Surah An-Naml. So Surah Furqan means a criterion. That means something that can differentiate between what's good and evil. So the Qur'an is of course called Al-Furqan because that is what we use to see what is good and evil. It's been given this name because this surah describes the greatness of the Qur'an, the truthfulness of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, along with answers to different objections that the non-Muslims would make. And coincidentally, these objections are still alive till today. Even though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was talking about them in the Qur'an itself during the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Few of them are, we won't go through the answers, there's no time. But some of the objections mentioned in the surah is that the non-Muslims would say that Rasulullah forged everything that was in the Quran and other religious groups helped him to do it. Second objection was that they say that, oh, this is just a repeat of old stories that are narrated to Rasulullah. He took other different stories and just put them all in the Quran. Third objection was that how can there be a prophet who's eating, drinking, shopping in the malls, in the shops? Why doesn't he have an angel that is with him? Why doesn't he have gardens for himself? Why doesn't he have servants for him? Fourth thing was that why did the Quran not get all revealed at once? Very quickly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed it gradually, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, to help strengthen the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and so that the Quranic ayahs can be revealed at specific times of need. Of course, if all the commands of the Quran came all at once, it would have been very, very, very difficult for all the sahabas to act upon every single one of them all of a sudden. Moving forward, this is a random piece of information, has nothing to do with this. Somewhere, I believe in the 1990s, 1980s, I forgot what time, there is a man, I believe he has a PhD in from Egypt. He's a Coptic Egyptian, and he's a Christian who lives in Egypt. And he actually wrote a fake Quran, he's Christian. He called it the true Furqan. He actually made his own surahs in Arabic, and it's all in Arabic, and he made it look like the Quran just so he can challenge the Quran. But anyone who reads that or looks at it, no one should look at it. But it's just you can't even read it properly. You can tell it's all fake. So anyway, so there are objections made here, and then anyway, it's funny that the person chose to name that Quran the true Furqan when Surah Furqan is the one that answers all the objections. Moving forward. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the regret of people over making the wrong friends in this world, which is something we should all think about too. Are we going to be regretting the friends we have in this world? And the specific reason they have that regret is, they say that this person was someone who took me away from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ask yourself the question, how many of your questions bring you closer to the remembrance of Allah? Because if they're not bringing you closer to the remembrance of Allah, that means they're bringing you away from the remembrance of Allah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions some prophets and the destructions of their nations. He describes the signs of his own power. Then there's a very, very important verse in this surah. وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنًا وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. Then the next few verses all the way to the end of the surah. So right towards the end of Surah Furqan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the qualities of the slaves of the All-Merciful, the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As mentioned in the previous khatirah, being a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one of the highest ranks we can have in this world. Because if you're not a slave of Allah, you're automatically a slave of this world. Whether you're a slave to the fashion of this world, to the people of this world, to the trends of this world, whatever it may be. We all want to be a slave of Allah. Now what are these qualities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in this one and a half page? And these are qualities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. That's why he's attributing this being a slave to Allah and saying Ibadur Rahman, the slaves of Allah, the All-Merciful. We'll just go through all the qualities. We can't explain all of them. There's not enough time. First quality is that they walk on the earth with humility. They walk on the earth with humility. There's another ayah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, don't walk on this world as if you have a lot of pride. لَن تَخْرِقَ الْأَرْضَ وَلَن تَبْلُغَ الْجِبَالَ طُولًا. If you're walking, trying to make yourself look all big and bad, whatever it may be, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it's not like you can walk and rip a hole through the earth, and neither can you walk in such a way that you can become higher than mountains. It's not going to happen. So there's no need to show off or to look arrogant when you're walking. Walk with humility, the way Rasulullah would walk. Number two is they reply peacefully even to the ignorant people. It's easy to have a good conversation with someone who's not ignorant or is not trying to attack you. But when people start attacking you, someone is ignorant about something, that's when you're actually tested, and now that's where you have to see if you have the quality of replying to them in a very peaceful, nice, easy manner without getting angry. Third quality is they spend their nights in tahajjud. وَالَّذِينَ يَبُوتُونَ رَبِّهِمْ سُجُدًا وَقِيَامًا. In Imam Qurtubi rahimahullah tafsir, he narrates from Abdullah bin Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, مَنْ صَلَّى رَكَعَتَيْنِ وَأَكْثَرَ بَعْضَ الْعِشَاءِ فَقَدْ بَاتَ لِلَّهِ سَاجِدًا وَقَائِمًا. In this ayah, it says these people spend their entire night sujjadan wa qiyama in sajda and while standing, obviously in salah. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu says, whosoever prays two or more rak'ahs after salatul isha, then it is as if that person has spent the entire night making sajda and standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a good habit to inculcate that we at least pray two extra rak'ahs after salatul isha. Alhamdulillah, right now we have taraweeh, but other than taraweeh, we should also pray two rak'ahs of nafil. Fourth thing is that they make a certain dua. I'll get back to this. There are two duas mentioned here. I'll get back to the dua later, inshallah. Number five is when they spend, they are not extravagant, nor are they miserly. So when they spend, they're not wasting their money. It's not like they're only buying something just because it's name brand, even though there's something exactly the same quality. That's not name brand. Next thing is they're not miserly. They're not absolutely cheap and always keeping money to them, and they don't like to spend on anything. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala still likes us to spend. It's okay. Number six, they do not call upon anyone other than Allah, for that means they're Muslims. They do not commit murder, and they do not commit adultery. Number seven, they do not testify to falsehood. That means when there is something wrong that happens, especially when it involves our own family members, they do not testify to something that they know is actually wrong. Sadly, I had a personal, I'm not going to go into the experience, but I had a personal experience where a certain incident happened, and it was very obvious it can be only A or B. There was no way for it to be ambiguous. There were two families we met with. We told them they were all under the oath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He reminded them, my teacher specifically, Mufti Ibrahim Desai, he reminded them that, look, if you say something wrong here and you testify to something wrong, then you'll have the adab in the akhirah, the disgrace in this world is worth it, but the disgrace in the hereafter is not worth it. So don't. And they all said, wallahi, we swear that we're going to tell the truth. And sadly, we had both of the families said the opposite things. And it was impossible for it to be the opposite thing. There could have been only one truth. That means one entire family was under the oath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and every single one of them testified to falsehood. Moving forward, what were these good Muslim families? Well, I'm not going to go into more detail. Number eight, when they pass by ill speech or evil talk, they pass by with dignity. That means two different things. Number one, when you see evil talks happening, sometimes you get attracted. We want to sit down. No, you pass by it. You ignore it. And number two, you pass by with dignity. You don't make it look like you're all pious and they're not pious. See, that's not how you make it look like. You pass by with dignity, where they still have respect for you regardless of what you do. Number nine, when they are reminded about the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the lessons in it, they do not ignore them as if they start acting like they didn't hear it or see it. Some people are bothered by whenever you want to talk about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Keeping in mind that you should only talk about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the dhikr of Allah when the time makes sense. If everyone is sitting down and they're about to do, let's just say the eight time and everyone's just relaxing and having fun, and then all of a sudden you come in the middle and stop everyone and all of a sudden the dhikr of Allah. But, you know, we should keep in mind the time that we're actually even doing this. Number 10. There's another dua that they make. So now there are two duas mentioned here. One of the first dua is رَبَّنَا صْرِفْ عَنَّا عَذَابَ جَهَنَّمْ إِنَّ عَذَابَهَا كَانَ غَرَامًا إِنَّهَا سَاءَتْ مُسْتَقَرًّا وَمُقَامًا. What this dua means is that they say, oh Allah, save us from the punishment and the azab of Jahannam, because our punishment of Jahannam is something that is everlasting. إِنَّهَا سَاءَتْ مُسْتَقَرًّا وَمُقَامًا. And a stay in hell and stay in Jahannam and residing in Jahannam is so evil, it's so bad. That's the first dua that they make. The next dua is رَبَّنَا هَبْلَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَاتِنَا قُرَّتَعَانِ وَجَعَلْنَا الْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. They make the dua, O Allah, make our wives and our children, for our spouses and our children for us, قُرَّتَعَيُن, the coolness of our eyes. And وَجَعَلْنَا الْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا, and let us be the imams of the Muslims. I'm not going to go into what that means. One thing Imam Qurtubi rahimahullah mentions in his tafsir is they say all of these things an ilmin, that they're not just saying it on their tongue. No, they when they're saying it, they're knowing exactly what they're saying, and they're asking for those exact things. So it's not like sometimes some of us after salah we say astaghfirullah, not knowing what we just said. No, when they make these du'as, they know exactly what they're asking for. So these are the two du'as mentioned here. And the least we can do out of all of these 10 qualities is to at least learn these two du'as mentioned here and recite them regularly each time we want to make du'a. They're very short. They're both one line long. It's just two lines. We should learn them. There's also one other du'a I wanted to mention, which is also another du'a that's mentioned about the servants of Allah, but this is in a completely, it's in the 18th juz, not over here. The du'a is رَبَّنَا آمَنَّا فَاغْفِرْ لَنَا وَارْحَمْنَا وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks this du'a. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about those that make this du'a, and he refers to them as عِبَادِي, his group of slaves, فَرِيقٌ مِّنْ عِبَادِي, who would make the du'a, this du'a in this world, and finally in the hereafter, جَزَيْتُهُمُ الْيَوْمَ بِمَا صَبَرُوا أَنَّهُمْ هُمُ الْفَائِزُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards them, and they become successful فَائِزُونَ. So Allah is saying there were a group of my servants in this world that would make this dua. So why don't we try to become those servants and at least say that dua so we can have a claim on the Day of Judgment. So there's those two duas there. The رَبَّنَا صِفْ عَنَّا عَذَابَ جَهَنَّمَ till the end. Then رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَّاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنٍ وَاجْعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. And the third one, رَبَّنَا آمَنَّا فَاغْفِرْ لَنَا وَارْحَمْنَا وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. We should try to inculcate all these duas. Normally on every of the, all the du'as we're doing in each night over in on this, I always try to inculcate all three of these du'as every single time in all, when we make du'a. Allah Ta'ala talks about those that are, then Allah Subhanahu wa ta'ala, then, so this is just another, though, if you, yesterday we covered a different list in the 18th juz. So if we combine both of these lists together, then we can see that we can go through both of these lists during the pandemic, and we can just see how far we've come along in being true servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and how much we deserve Jannah. It's very good to analyze all these things during this pandemic because who knows when our end is going to be. So this is another list we can go through. This took a bit of time. Next surah is Surah Shu'ara. The people of Mecca will call Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a soothsayer. They will call him a poet unless he reveals some sign for them. This surah answers all of the objections of the mushrikeen and explains the evil qualities of the poets. And this surah also mentions the stories of many, many different prophets, because in this surah they're asking Rasulullah for a sign, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions what happened to all the previous nations that also asked signs from all of their prophets. Prophet Musa alayhi salam is mentioned, Ibrahim alayhi salam is mentioned, Prophet Hud alayhi salam, Salih alayhi salam, Lut alayhi salam, Nuh alayhi salam, they're all and Prophet Shu'aib alayhi salam, all of them are mentioned one after another. I would love to go through all of their responses because they were all the exact same responses they gave to all of their people. You'll see that for like straight for 6, 7, 8 pages, you're seeing all the prophets give the exact same response to all of their people. But we don't have time right now to go through that. Moving forward, let's just cover one prophet. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this will be a bit off topic. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in one of these ayahs, قَالَ فِرْعَوْنُ وَمَا رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Tells us about the first conversation Musa alayhi salam had with Fir'aun after receiving prophethood. Now keep in mind, Musa alayhi salam is standing in front of the main ruler of the entire area. He's in his court, in his land. And what he's about to tell him almost surely guarantees his death. But he still spoke the truth in front of Fir'aun. So he told Fir'aun, asked him, well, who is this lord of the world? So Musa alayhi salam kept responding every single time Fir'aun said that. He would just tell him that the ruler of the world is your lord and my lord. The Lord of the heavens and the earth, Lord of the east and the west. He kept responding and responding and responding. But each time Musa alayhi salam would say something, Fir'aun would come in the middle and he interjected. What was Fir'aun saying? لِمَنْ حَوَلَهُ وَلَا تَسْتَمِعُونَ. He would tell this to people around him, do you hear what this person is saying? Then he would say, إِنَّ رَسُولَكُمُ الَّذِي أُسِلَ إِلَيْكُمُ لَمَجْنُونَ. This prophet of yours, he's gone mad. Then Musa alayhi salam would again say, and Allah is the Lord of this and that and this and that. And then Fir'aun would say, I will imprison you if you keep on continuing. Then he would say, oh, he's just a magician. He kept responding one after another and making fun of Musa alayhi salam. Now we should try to understand the feelings and struggles of all of the prophets before us. What must they have been going through? Keep in mind, they were human. They felt fear. When Allah subhanahu told Musa alayhi salam, go to Fir'aun, he said, إِنِّي أَخَافُ أَنْ يَقْتُلُونَ. I fear that they're going to kill me. He had the fear of death. He had fear. Musa alayhi salam would feel sadness. He would feel shock when he was in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he threw down his stick and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the first time made that stick into a snake. What happened? وَلَّا مُدْبِرَا وَلَمْ يُعَقِّبْ. Musa alayhi salam turned around and started running the other way and didn't even look back because he was shocked and afraid. So they're prophets, but they're humans. They have all of these fears. But nonetheless, they still face their enemies. Right now, the world has come to a halt because of this pandemic. So right now, we need to ask ourselves, what have we done for Islam? Because we do our own acts of worship. Right now, we're doing our own salah, our own zakah, hajj, inshallah, when we get the time. But we are very, very selfish people. The prophets, on the other hand, put aside their fear of creation due to the fear of the Creator. We need to bring a change in our lives, not only for ourselves, but for the cause of Islam in general. And right now in the pandemic, we have so much time to think about the entire world and our role in it. We should not just only think about ourselves, start thinking about the entirety of Islam and what the prophets went through and put it into our lives as well. Moving forward, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about Ibrahim alayhi salam when he responded and spoke to his people just very quickly. He spoke some words which truly showed his trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The reason I want to mention these words is during this pandemic that we should remember these words in each and every one of our du'as, because this pandemic has caused many of us to start depending on creation more than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is our creator. Now what did Ibrahim alayhi salam say to his people? He mentioned seven different things about Allah. He said, number one, He created me. Number two, He's the one who guides me. Number two, He feeds me and He quenches my thirst. Number four, He cures me. He's the one who cures me from all illnesses. Number five, He is the one who can only give me death. Number six, He is the only one who can only give me life. And number seven, He is the only one that can forgive me for my sins. Right now in this pandemic, ask yourself this too. That are you thinking in your heart that Allah is the only one who feeds you and quenches your thirst? Or are you thinking it's your boss that gives you your money to do that? Are you thinking it's Allah who can only cure you, or it's CDC and who? Are you thinking that it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who can give you death, or are you thinking the virus is the only thing that can give you the death? Are you thinking only Allah gives you life, or are you thinking some vaccine will come out to help me? So all of these things we should remember about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instead. Moving forward, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in further ayahs about, I don't know, there's so many prophets here, that let's go through one more prophet and we'll move on to the next surah, about Prophet Hud alayhi salam, when he went to his people and he responded to them, Hud alayhi salam, when he talked to his people, who are the people of Ad, about all the wealth that they had and that they were investing into this world and forgetting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who gave him this wealth, he told them a few things. He told them two main things. First thing he tells them is, أَتَتَّخِذُونَ مَصَانِيَ وَعَلَعَلَّكُمْ أَتَبْنُونَ بِكُلِّ رِيعٍ آيَةٍ تَعْبُذُونَ. He tells them that why are they erecting huge, huge buildings on every height, everywhere they can see, just so they show off. And that's something we're doing too. The way we keep upgrading and showing off our houses, our cars, our watches, not to please Allah, but to gain people's attention. And honestly speaking, the online world is a prime example of this. Maybe we're not setting up buildings on mountains, but we are setting up buildings on Twitter, on YouTube, just trying to get a lot of attention for ourselves. The second thing he told them was that, أَتَتَّخِذُونَ مَصَانِعَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَخْلُدُونَ, that why are you building structures as if you will live there forever? Right now for us, we continue to expand our properties. We buy more and more and more things. We keep adding bedrooms. We keep adding floors. We keep adding guest rooms. We keep adding bathrooms. Even though there may be only four people living in the entire house. Then Hud alayhi salam tells them, fear the one who supported you in the first place in acquiring all of these things, because if you do not fear him, you may be struck with a punishment. What was their response? All they could say was that in hadha illa khuluqul awwalin, whatever you're telling us, these are just tales and stories of the ancient people. It's not going to happen. وَمَا نَحْنُ بِمُعَذَّبِينَ. Nothing's going to happen to us. And then what happened in the end? فَكَذَّبُوهُ فَأَهْلَكْنَاهُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we destroyed them. Now ask yourself this, what are your goals right now? Aren't we thinking the same thing? We're expanding our properties, our houses, everything, we're expanding it, even though there are others who are needy, even though it might be that we already have enough space. Now this pandemic has come. Will we forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and continue to delve in this world? Or are we going to change? We should learn from what happened to the people of Ad. Don't convince yourself and say, oh, those are the people of Ad. That's their response. They said that. In hadha illa khuluqul awwaleen. Don't be caught by what they said and think that those are past stories, nothing will happen to us. No. Allah can send any sort. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can send any sort of natural disaster and wipe off everyone from this world, or at least from this country, or wherever it may be. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from that type of end. Mm-hmm. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the stories of many different prophets, and it will be too much. Lastly, is Surah Naml. The theme of the surah is the wealth, that wealth and power may sometimes stop people from accepting the true message. The main incident mentioned is the incident of Sulaiman alayhi salam. He had such power and wealth, and yet he still was submitted and was humble to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the whole story between him and Queen Bilqis is mentioned, and more prophets are mentioned. I'll just mention one small part of this, and inshallah we'll end. قال الذي عنده علم من الكتاب. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about Sulaiman alayhi salam, that when he declared, in a way, war against Bilqis and told her that either I'm going to come to you and we're going to take over, or you come here and you submit and you accept. So he gave her those two choices. So now Bilqis, Queen Sheba, she ended up, the Queen of Sheba, she started coming towards the area of Sulaiman alayhi salam, accepting, like saying that, okay, fine, I quit, I submit. So before she even came, Sulaiman alayhi salam told his people, that is there anyone here who can bring me the entire throne of Bilqis right in front of me right now? Because I want to show her something. I'm not going to go through why he brought the throne, but he asked, can anyone bring her entire throne? And Hudhud told him earlier that walaha arshun azim, her throne is huge. It's really large. Like, it's very big. And keep in mind, Hudhud is comparing it to Sulaiman alayhi salam's throne, which is probably huge as well. So he's saying hers is really huge. So when Sulaiman alayhi salam asked his people, can anyone do this? One of the ifritum min al jinn, one of the very, very powerful jinns, told Sulaiman alayhi salam, I can bring it to you before you even stand up from your spot. I'll go all the way to her land, go all the way inside her dominion, her quarters, her castle, wherever it may be, take out the entire throne, bring it all the way back and put it in front of you before you even get up from your spot. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that قَالَ الَّذِي عِنْدَهُ عِلْمٌ مِّنَ الْكِتَابِ. There was a person over there who had knowledge of the book. Knowledge of the book, which is probably referring to knowledge of Musa, the Torah, because Sulaiman alayhi salam, Dawud alayhi salam, came after Musa alayhi salam, who told Sulaiman alayhi salam, I can bring it faster. I can bring it faster than before you even blink your eye. So Sulaiman alayhi salam, when that person said that, فَلَمَّا رَاهُ Sulaiman alayhi salam just looked the other way, and the مُسْتَقِرًا عِنْدَهُ, and the throne was right in front of him all of a sudden. Then Sulaiman alayhi salam, in that situation, he said, لِيَبْلُوَنِي أَشْكُ مَكْفُرْ. That, so what happened here was, there are a few lessons that we can learn. So when this happened, Sulaiman alayhi salam turns towards the throne and he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying to test me. Am I going to be grateful or ungrateful? And then he said, whoever is grateful to Allah, he's only benefiting himself. Allah does not need your gratefulness, but you're not going to benefit yourself. And whoever is ungrateful to Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has no need for your gratitude anyway. So there are a few lessons we can learn here. Number one, no matter how much wealth and power we are trying to gain, we can never, ever, ever surpass Sulaiman alayhi salam. Many of us are on a mission to get to the top. We will never gain power over jinns, and we're never going to gain power over the wind. It's not going to happen. So no matter how much power we want to gain in this world, however popular you want to become, how much fame, how much whatever, you will never surpass Sulaiman alayhi salam. Number two, what qualities did the most powerful human beings in this world have? Sulaiman alayhi salam, his jinns, that person who had the knowledge of the book. Some say that he wasn't a jinn, he was an actual human. He was a human named Asif bin Barqiya, and that human had knowledge of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anyway, what qualities did these most powerful human beings have? Because we want to be very powerful and rich too. And they had such power that gave them immense strength and control. They had two qualities. First quality was connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And second quality was knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book. Number three, how did the most powerful human king maintain his power? How did Sulaiman alayhi salam maintain all that power that he had? لِيَبْلُونِ أَشْكُرُ مَكْفُرُ. By thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and being humble in front of him. Some people, when they have wealth, they become conceited. They like to flaunt their wealth in front of others and show off. Sulaiman alayhi salam did the opposite. They say when Sulaiman alayhi salam would be riding on his, he had like this platform where he would ride from one area to another, he would be in sajda the entire time because it would be going through the air and he wanted to show his humility to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in this pandemic, we've seen how weak we really are. We have all the technology we can ask for, but it was nothing in front of the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took down entire nations financially. They didn't even know what their struggle could be struck by, even despite their economic success and despite all of their technology. If we are still looking for power, wealth, fame, and status, and if we really want to reach the peak in this world, there's nothing wrong as long as you fear Allah, the only way is not to climb the ladder of this world, but it is to climb the ladder of the Akhirah to Allah Ta'ala alone. Then we will become the most powerful even in this world. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to act upon what has been said. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.